Hey, loyal podcast listeners. This is your host, Michael Smalley, wanting to remind you, check out SmalleyInstitute.com because you can go there and sign up today for free to the number one reason relationships fail online course. When you sign up, you will start learning immediately exactly why relationships get in trouble, whether it's marriage, parenting, friendships, business. Doesn't matter, because all relationships get stuck in a universal pattern, and when you don't know it, you fail. So sign up today at SmalleyInstitute.com for the number one reason relationships fail online course. Welcome to Smalley Marriage Radio. This is your host, Michael Smalley, and I am still recording, broadcasting, if you will, from Southern California at a Fairfield Inn and Suites. My wife is here near me, but I'm not going to let her participate because it's 10 p.m. here, which makes it like midnight back home, and we have just spent an incredible day at this ARC Church conference with amazing people and amazing pastors. And I'm exhausted, but I am committed. So technically, even though it's midnight in Texas, it's still 10 o'clock here. So I am getting this eighth show in. And Amy's looking at me, smiling. You're just not going to say a thing.
I was about to say what you were going to say. Does it count?
Yes, it absolutely counts.
Almost the next day.
And that is all we're going to say about it, because I am tired. No, I'm actually, so, you know, we just wrapped up with the seventh day of these podcasts on the 28 statements from Jesus that can transform your relationship, and we just finished up part one. There are three parts to this 28-day series that I've committed to doing, and tonight I'm kind of irritated about it, but Jesus loves me. And he forgives me for my forgetfulness and my excitement to be at that conference all day. And so we're now on the first one with part two, which is how Jesus wants you to love others. So now we're going to start putting the statements of Christ again to work in your life in terms of how you treat others. And I actually have a series of a couple of really amazing quotes, because the statement I chose for this eighth day is from Jesus is John 3:16. And I'm titling this, "If Only You Were Willing to Love Like This." And so I found, just in my research, I'm trying to better understand, because we all know John 3:16. If you've ever watched a sporting event, you know, Tim Tebow used to put it on his eye darkening thing, and you see signs for it, and it's like so popular. And then I just found some really special things written about John 3:16 that I'm going to read for you now. "For God so loved," what proclamation of the gospel has been so oft on the lips of missionaries and preachers in every age since it was first uttered? What has sent such thrilling sensations through millions of mankind? What has been honored to bring such multitudes to the feet of Christ? What to kindle in the cold and selfish breasts of mortals the fires of self-sacrificing love to mankind as these words of transparent simplicity, yet overpowering majesty? The picture embraces several distinct compartments. The world, in its widest sense, ready to perish, the immense love of God to that perishing world, measurable only and conceivable only by the gift which is drew forth from him. The gift itself, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, or in the language of Paul, spared not his own son. Or in that address to Abraham when ready to offer Isaac on the altar, withheld not his son, his only son, whom he loved. The fruit of this stupendous gift, not only deliverance from impending perdition, but the bestowal of everlasting life, the mode in which all takes effect by believing on the Son. How would Nicodemus's narrow Judaism become invisible in the blaze of this Son of Righteousness seen rising on the world with healing in his wings? That was Jameson Fawcett and A.R. Brown, and it's in this commentary, critical and explanatory, but I felt like they did such a poetic job of unpacking John 3:16. Another one is, for this is how God, here it is, the New Living Translation. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus teaches Nicodemus that God's only motive is love. Jesus hasn't been sent into the world to judge or punish and sentence to death. He has come to reveal the light and show the love of God. He longs that people should stop preferring darkness and clinging to shame. That was A. Knowles in the Bible Guide. So how are you supposed to love others? Amy, you had something you wanted to say.
Well, like Jesus did. You know, obviously laying down our lives for each other. And like the Holy Spirit is what actually gives us just the gift of even of understanding and that wooing. it's a gift of grace. We get the grace that of that love, but the wooing, and then the Holy Spirit is implanted in us. And so then we get the gift of being able to have the knowledge and the truth and the trust and the hope of eternal life. And, you know, when I think about that, I think, you know, as we were talking about this earlier today, which you did actually think about doing.
I had the notes all done, people.
Yeah.
Since 5 this morning.
Yeah. So we were thinking about doing, you know, talking about this. It's, you know, a lot of times you, as a Christian, sometimes you even feel bad about complaining about anything or any hurts, anything. You think, well, you know what? God loved me and he sent his son to die for me. And that's such a huge, huge gift that God gave us. Then how could we dare even complain about anything? And I kind of hit me that just because God came into this world doesn't mean that, and he died for us, all those things that are happening, but part of us, we're human and we're fallen and we have hurts and we have aches and you know, and further on in scripture it talks about how we should bear each other's burdens. And so what does that look like? A lot of that looks like our burdens of our, you know, of our disappointments, of our hurts, of our just the different things that have our slavery, our bondage that we might have been in. We need to be able to be in community about those things. And so I just didn't want this for people to feel shy away from truly being compassionate, or not to feeling like that we should feel compassion for each other.
Well, and remember, everybody, if you've been listening to these, you know, the 7 previous ones, Jesus is never going to command something from you that he doesn't also empower you to be able to pull off. And so if you're really struggling in your relationship with whoever, a spouse, a child, a parent, a sibling, you might be going, I don't know if I can do it, right? I don't know if I can forgive, or I don't know if I can love and do what Jesus is. You can, but you do have to trust in the power of the Holy Spirit that gives you the ability. So yeah, if you try to do it on your own, you're going to be frustrated. But in John 3:16, there's 4 kind of key things on, you know, in Jesus' statement that I think encourages but challenges you on how are you supposed to love others. We're supposed to love like God loves. Jesus' expectation is that you love others like he loved you. And remember, the whole reason that Christ, if you're a believer and if Christ impacted you and changed you, that happened because of how he loved you. So the secret to influencing people and changing them, frankly, for the good, is loving them like Jesus loved you. And that's self-sacrificing in John 3:16. Number two, love like it was not bound to any kind of good behavior, right? So there's no like, okay, if you do this, this, and this, I'm going to give up my only son for you. No, he was given, and that was that grace and that mercy, and that's the expectation for us as well. So you, if you're a Christ follower and if you allow him to change you, you don't base how you treat that person, whether they deserve it or not, because we didn't deserve it. So how dare us do that to someone else? Number three, let every thought, action, and desire of your heart be to love the person in front of you. That has to be your primary goal, is what can I be doing for you right now? Amy and I experienced that throughout the day with some of these big pastors who were so encouraging, and we know they have insanely busy lives, and they took time just to pour into Amy and I and to encourage us. And, you know, that's what we're called to do. And then number four is be the light to others, which is shown brightest when others get to experience the kind of love that saved the world. Just try to remember that. John 3:16 touches people because there was this incredible sacrifice that, especially if you have your own children, is so radical that we can be that kind of love for others, and especially those people in our life, and it changes them. I can end with this quote from Max Lucado, and he's talking about John 3:16 here. And Max is always so smart. So I think you'll appreciate this. A 26-word parade of hope, beginning with God, ending with life, and urging us to do the same. Brief enough to write on a napkin or memorize in a moment, yet solid enough to weather 2,000 years of storms and questions. If you know nothing of the Bible, start here.